Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's call on Tennessee Filing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call is being recorded, and I'll be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Stephanie Teachout. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Wendy, and good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining this call to review the litigation that is being filed on behalf of the workers who are arrested and detained in the massive worksite raid at the Southeastern Provision Meatpacking Plant in eastern Tennessee last April. My name is Stephanie Teachout, and I am the co-executive director of the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition, and I will be moderating today's call. We'll begin by hearing from Meredith Stewart, a senior supervising attorney with the Southern Poverty Law Center, and from Melissa Keeney, staff attorney with the National Immigration Law Center. We'll then hear from Martha Pulido, one of the plaintiffs in this groundbreaking case, and then I'll share a few brief remarks about the lasting impact of this raid on the community before we open up the call to questions from all of you. After the remarks, the operator will provide the instructions for how to ask these questions. On the call, we will limit questions to the litigators, but follow-up interviews can be conducted separately through Haley from NILC, whose contact information is included in the advisory. So to begin, I'd like to introduce Meredith Stewart, a senior supervising attorney at the Southern Poverty Law Center, who will explain more about this important litigation being filed this morning.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Meredith Stewart, and I'm a senior supervising attorney with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Today, we are filing a lawsuit to hold accountable the ICE agents who planned and executed the workplace raid in East Tennessee last April. During the raid, the ICE agents engaged in racial profiling and illegal searches and arrests in violation of the Fourth and Fifth Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Through this lawsuit, we seek justice for our clients and all the workers whose rights were violated that day. Everyone in the United States has rights declared in our Constitution. What happened in April last year in East Tennessee was illegal. ICE agents stormed the meatpacking plant looking for Latino workers without knowing their identities or immigration status. They detained those workers solely on the basis of their race, using intrusive, militaristic, and even violent measures. This is law enforcement overreach, plain and simple. We as a nation have a shared set of ideals rooted in the Bill of Rights. We have a right to be free from racial profiling and unlawful arrests. If we're not willing to uphold those ideals for everyone in this country, then we are all at risk of losing our rights. What's more, ICE targeted workers who were being exploited in the workplace. This means this raid has repercussions that go beyond the devastation it caused to families, children, and communities. Focusing immigration enforcement efforts on low-wage workers will only drive them farther into the shadows, making them more vulnerable to exploitation and less likely to complain. This lowers standards and working conditions for all workers in this country. That is why we are suing today, because everyone is entitled to the same protections under our Constitution, and the people who violate these laws need to be held accountable. The raid may have devastated the community, but it did not extinguish its resilience. Thanks to the bravery of our plaintiffs, the workers, and their families, we will have our day in court. We'll be happy to take questions later, but for now, I'll turn it over to my co-counsel, Melissa Keeney.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Melissa Keeney. I'm with the National Immigration Law Center, and I'm one of the lawyers on this case. Our plaintiffs came to work at the meatpacking plant the morning of April 5th, 2018, just like they had done every day for years. Some of them have worked there for 2 years, some more than 10. And despite the brutal, dangerous, and oftentimes unsanitary conditions at the plant, they came every day to do their job and provide for their families. The workers there had built a community together, just as they were part of the community in this rural, small town of Bean Station in the mountains of East Tennessee where the plant is located. On the morning of the raid, they had been settling into their morning routine when dozens of ICE agents suddenly stormed the plant in a military-style operation. They secured the perimeter, blocked every exit, and then armed agents flooded into the facility while shouting at the workers to freeze. Meanwhile, helicopters circled overhead and officers blocked off the single road leading to the plant on either end. Officers waited outside behind large machine guns pointed at the exits. Same workers who had been showing up to work in this rural community were suddenly confronted with a terrifying situation. Some had guns pointed at them, others were pushed to the ground, and one of our plaintiffs was punched in the face. Another reported that he thought they were in the midst of a terrorist attack or an active shooter situation. These military-style worksite raids are designed to instill fear in immigrant communities, undermining their safety and ability to thrive. And these federal agents must be held accountable for violating the workers' constitutional rights and for their use of excessive force in this raid. This raid targeted a rural community where legal and advocacy services are scarce, forcing immigrants further into the margins. As Stephanie will mention later, the effect on children in the community in particular has been profound and long-lasting. We can be a country with immigration laws that also treats people with fairness and kindness. This community showed its strength and care for its neighbors by coming together in the wake of the raid to support the families that were impacted. Their neighbors went to work expecting a normal day and were instead ripped away from their families and out of the community. We all benefit when everyone in our community has the opportunity to be safe, healthy, and successful. People in the Bean Station area immediately gather to support their immigrant neighbors who they see every day at the store, getting groceries and at church on Sundays, or dropping off their child at school each morning. The people who worked at this plant kept the third largest business in Granger County running, and their well-being is part of what drives the vitality of this community. We at the National Immigration Law Center are honored to stand with our brave plaintiffs today to file what is the first lawsuit challenging a worksite immigration raid under the Trump administration. With the support of their community, these workers have decided to step forward and pursue justice. Together, their commitment to their work, their families, and to the community in which they are deeply rooted reflects the best of this country they call home. Thank you. I'll turn it back over to Stephanie.
Thank you, Meredith and Melissa. Next, I am very excited to introduce Martha Pulido, one of the courageous workers who is suing the ICE agents that conducted this violent and militarized raid of her workplace. Martha will share her remarks in Spanish, which will then be subsequently shared in English by her interpreter. Martha, please go ahead.
Hola, mi nombre es Martha Pulido. Les hablo desde Morriston, Tennessee, donde he pasado los últimos 20 años de mi vida. En Tennessee he criado a mis hijos y ahora Dios me ha bendecido con nietos. Tennessee, he hecho mi vida.
Hello, my name is Martha Pulido. I'm speaking to you from Morristown, Tennessee, where I have lived the past 20 years of my life. This is where I have raised children and now where I have been blessed with grandchildren. Tennessee is where I have my life.
Hoy les agradezco la oportunidad de compartir con ustedes lo que yo viví aquí en mi ciudad el día 5 de abril del año pasado.
I am grateful for this opportunity today to share with you what I lived through in my hometown on April 5th of last year.
En el tiempo que trabajé en la planta, me tocó hacer varios puestos, incluso trabajar en la línea, limpiar, procesar, empacar y en la matanza.
I worked at the plant for about 2 years. I have worked a variety of jobs at the plant, from working on the line to sanitation, to butchering, to packaging and shipping, to the kill floor.
El día de la redada, estaba yo trabajando en el área de matanza.
On the day of the raid, I was working on the kill floor.
De repente, escuché oficiales dando órdenes a los trabajadores de levantar las manos. De un momento a otro, la planta se convirtió en un caos, con agentes gritando y corriendo de manera agresiva por la planta. Se escuchaban helicópteros afuera.
Suddenly, I heard officers ordering workers to put their hands up. The plant quickly became a chaotic scene filled with armed officers shouting and aggressively moving through the plant. You could hear helicopters outside.
Una de mis compañeras se resbaló y se cayó. Los oficiales le apuntaron con sus armas.
One of my coworkers tripped and fell, and officers drew their guns on her.
Vi a otro oficial empujar a otra compañera y vi como otro oficial golpeaba a un compañero en la cara.
I saw another officer push another female worker and another officer punch one of my coworkers.
¿Por qué el uso excesivo de armas y agresividad? Lo único que estábamos haciendo era ganarnos la vida para mantener a nuestras familias.
Why so many guns and such excess violence? The only thing we were doing was earning a living for our families.
me pusieron esposas y me negaron a hacer una llamada. No nos permitieron hablar entre nosotros, un ambiente profundamente desolador.
I was handcuffed without the ability to make a phone call. They didn't let us speak to each other. It was a deeply distressing environment.
Yo observé que los trabajadores blancos de la planta estaban afuera también, pero no tenían puestas las esposas, andaban libres y hasta algunos fumaban cigarrillos.
I also noticed that the white workers who worked at the plant were outside too, but they weren't wearing handcuffs. They were free to move around, and some were even smoking cigarettes.
En cambio a mí, me llevaron al armory, me confiscaron mis pertenencias personales, me tomaron mis huellas y me detuvieron por casi 14 horas.
On the other hand, I was taken to the armory, my personal items were confiscated, I was fingerprinted, and they detained me for nearly 14 hours.
De verdad no entiendo por qué nos ha pasado esto. Intento hacer lo mejor en mi vida. Es muy importante para mí trabajar y toda mi vida me ha dado orgullo hacerlo bien. Me presentaba todos los días en la planta, siempre con la intención de echarle ganas a pesar de las condiciones peligrosas de la planta y lo poco que nos pagaban.
Honestly, I don't know why this has happened to us. I try to do the right thing in life. Working is so important to me, and throughout my life, I have taken pride in what I do. I showed up every day determined to do good work despite the dangerous conditions at the plant and how little we were paid.
En este país se dice que si le echas ganas, puedes lograr tus metas, pero a veces no te dejan.
In this country, you're told that if you work hard, you can achieve your goals, but sometimes they don't let you.
Es completamente injusta la forma en que nos detuvieron por medio de la redada. Me presento en el trabajo aquella mañana tal como me había presentado todos los días durante el tiempo que trabajé ahí, ya con ganas de cumplir mi trabajo y mantener a mi familia. En vez de trabajar, me apuntaron un arma y vi agentes federales empujar a una de mis compañeras y golpear a otro compañero en la cara.
It's completely unjust the way they detained us during the raid. I showed up to work that morning just like I had every day for nearly 2 years, ready to do my job and provide for my family. Instead, I had a gun pointed in my face and saw my coworkers get punched in the face and shoved to the ground by federal agents.
A partir de la redada, he pasado por momentos muy difíciles. Me uno a esta demanda junto a mis compañeros porque es importante que yo levante mi voz. Quiero que la gente sepa que tiene derechos y quiero asegurarme de que otros trabajadores en este país no sufran abuso como los que hemos sufrido aquel día en la planta.
It's been incredibly difficult for me since the raid. I'm part of this lawsuit, along with my coworkers, because it's important for me to speak out. I want people to know that they have rights. I want to try and do something so the abuses that happened to us that day in the plant do not happen to other workers in this country.
Gracias por su atención.
Thank you for your attention.
Thank you so much, Martha. On behalf of the Tennessee Immigrants and Refugee Rights Coalition and our members across the state, I want to thank you and the rest of the plaintiffs for your courage and your conviction in filing this complaint today. Our immigration laws have been wielded against these workers with the shocking brutality and force detailed in the complaint and outlined by all of the previous speakers. This raid was meant to strike fear in the hearts of immigrant workers across the country, but Martha and the other plaintiffs refused to be silenced and convinced that they deserved this treatment at the hands of these agents. I also want to thank Meredith and Melissa and the incredible team of litigators for their efforts to fight alongside these workers after what was done to them on April 5th. So before we open up the call for questions, I wanted to share a few remarks about the ripple effects of this violent raid on the workers, their families, and the broader community. I was in Morristown on the day of the raid and in the weeks that followed. When a raid of this scale happens in our communities, it's like a bomb goes off. As the tragedy and chaos unfolded on that day, it was a painful reminder of why the government had stopped using this egregious enforcement tactic almost a decade before. A few hours after agents stormed into the factory, news started spreading through the community. Kids learned of the raid while they were still in school. Some told me about the sinking feeling they had when they couldn't get a hold of their parents, the moment they realized that their worst nightmare had come true. After school, teachers got on the school buses to accompany their students home, unsure if their parents would be there waiting for them. And when word spread that the workers were being held at the armory in nearby Russellville, terrified family members rushed to the building. Parents and small children were spilling out onto the highway, trying desperately to get answers from outside of the National Guard building. The elementary school next door eventually opened their doors and allowed the families a safe and warm place to wait for answers. We stayed there until the early morning hours when we learned that the workers who remained at the armory were being shipped off to jails and detention centers without even a chance to say goodbye to their spouses and children. In the school gymnasium that evening, amidst the chaos and confusion, it felt like we were responding to a natural disaster. The next day, nearly 600 students were reported to have stayed home from a single school district in the area. People were afraid to go to work, to take their kids to school, or even leave their homes. For the next several weeks, local organizations and community volunteers operated a disaster relief center out of a local Catholic church, addressing the urgent needs of hundreds of families whose lives had been torn apart. This complaint addresses the brutality of the workers themselves faced at the hands of agents that day, but the human cost of this unconscionable abuse of power extends much further. ICE raids cause deep psychological and physical trauma for the workers, their families, and their communities. This type of militaristic raid tactic in particular, in which agents use unnecessary force to detain workers at their jobs unexpectedly, leads to serious mental, emotional, and physical health complications that cause suffering for years to come. Many of the children whose parents were detained that day still suffer from night terrors and severe anxiety, not knowing if their parents will still be there when they return home from school. Trauma is exacerbated by the economic harm that will continue to plague the workers, leading to long-term financial instability, housing insecurity, and food insecurity. Today, nearly a year after the raid, this trauma and tragedy continues to unfold. The raid is an example of how mass worksite raids are deeply disruptive to local communities, leaving children stranded without their parents, terrifying entire communities, and devastating local economies. The physical and mental pain from detention and family separation have still not healed here in Morristown, but we hope that this complaint will bring some measure of justice for the workers whose rights were violated in this militaristic raid that was designed to instill fear in immigrant communities, no matter what the cost to the plaintiffs, their coworkers, or this community. And with that, I would like to invite our moderator, Wendy, to explain the process for getting in the queue to ask a question of our litigators. Wendy?
Yes, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone keypad. If you find your question has been addressed, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once more, that is star and one on your touch-tone keypad to ask a question. And we will pause momentarily to allow questions to queue. And we will take our first question from Julia Preston with the Marshall Project. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for having this call. I'm not sure I understand what the basis is of the complaint. I'm wondering, did ICE have a warrant for this raid? And if so, are you arguing excessive force, or what is the core of the argument here?
Julia, this is Melissa King at the National Immigration Law Center. ICE did not have its own warrant for this raid. The officers were there on an IRS search warrant for financial documents that were related to supposed crimes of the employer, the owner of the plant. But clearly their purpose that day and intent was far broader than what the warrant itself authorized. So the core basis of our claims here is a Fourth Amendment unlawful search and seizure of our plaintiffs, as well as a Fifth Amendment claim based on the racial profiling, the fact that the officers clearly targeted individuals who were or appeared to be Latino. Those are the core claims in our complaint, which we are happy to share after this call concludes.
Hi, this is Meredith. Just to add to that, we do have excessive force claims under the Fourth Amendment as well, in addition to the two claims that Melissa just mentioned.
Okay, and we will take our next question from Gabriela Pagan with ABC News. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Gabriela's producer, Jeff McClain. Our question, I suppose, would be one of standing some who all are the plaintiffs? Is it the families and the people detained, or just the people detained, or who all is the plaintiffs, and what is their standing? And will this be filed against what court is this going to be filed in?
Hi, this is Meredith from Southern Poverty Law Center. I can take that one. Our plaintiffs are individuals who were detained in the raid that day, and they're seeking to also represent a class of workers who are or appear to be Latino and who were working the morning of the raid at the plant. They have standing to sue because they were injured by the ICE officers' violations of their constitutional rights. We are suing individual officers from ICE, Homeland Security Investigations, and Enforcement Removal Operations, and the lawsuit will be filed in the Eastern District of Tennessee.
If I can ask a follow-up, has it been filed already, or do you have plans to file it soon, or what's your timeline on that?
It's being filed right now.
Okay, great. And we will take our next question from Matthew Lakin with Knoxville News. Please go ahead.
Hi, this question is more for Stephanie. What is the status now on the various people rounded up? How many are still being held in detention centers? How many have been deported? Many are back out on bond.
Thank you. So of the people who were detained on the day of the raid, 40 of them have been released on bond. 12 of them have taken voluntary departure, and 6 have been deported. 5 remain in federal custody.
Will you be sending out a draft of the lawsuit once it's filed?
We will. We'll be sending out the filed copy.
And we will go next to Jonathan Matisse with Associated Press. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering, there was some question at the time whether this might be the largest immigration workplace raid in U.S. history or something along those lines. Can you clarify if that's the case and, you know, just how many people were involved or were detained or whatever?
Sure. This is Melissa Keeney at the National Immigration Law Center. I can respond to that. This was the largest in nearly a decade. I don't believe it's true to say that it was the largest in history, but at the time that the raid occurred, it was the largest in nearly a decade.
Thank you.
And once again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and 1 on your touchtone keypad. We will go next to Cliff Hightower with Citizen Tribune. Please go ahead.
Yes, real quick, how many plaintiffs are listed in this lawsuit, and what's the damages you're asking for?
Hi, this is Meredith from Southern Poverty Law Center. We have 7 named plaintiffs, and again, the lawsuit is filed on behalf of a class of approximately 100 workers who are at the plant the day of the raid. We're seeking monetary damages and declaratory relief.
And we will go next to Louis Lebrecht with Bloomberg Law. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. You said that it was the largest raid in a decade at the time that it happened. I was wondering, I can see that it looks like in June there was another raid in Ohio that I see that our reporter who did a story on it was Freshmark, said it was the largest in a decade. So I was wondering whether the Freshmark raid was larger than this one. It seems like it was based on the number of people arrested, but I just wanted to check on that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the question. This is Melissa Keeney. The Freshmark raid was larger than this one. However, again, that one, too, was not the largest in history.
Okay, thank you very much.
And once more, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone keypad now. And we will pause momentarily to allow questions to queue. Once again, that is star and one on your touchtone keypad to ask a question. And we will go next to Catherine Shukwe at CNN. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for having this call. I have one very basic question and then another broader question, I guess. First of all, I just wanted to see if you could spell Martha's last name, first name and last name, actually, because I don't believe it was in the information that I got about this call. I apologize if I just missed it. And the other question was just, could you talk a little bit about why this legal action is being, why is this being filed now, nearly a year after the raid happened?
Sure. So on that first question, the spelling is M-A-R-T-H-A. And then P-U-L-I-D-O.
Thank you.
And on the second question, why now, we've been working with the community over the course of the last year or so and trying to understand there's a lot of details that go into the work of filing a case such as this. And so spent that time really preparing a strong, what we feel is a strong case, and we're ready to file today, which is why we did so.
I'd like to just tag on to that question. This is Meredith from SPLC. ICE has not been transparent about the details of the raid, including failing to tell people how many and which agents participated in its execution. ICE has refused to disclose to our organizations, community groups, the public, and members of Congress important details about this massive enforcement operation. And so ICE's lack of transparency makes it difficult for people like our plaintiffs to enforce their rights in court. And another reason we want to file this lawsuit is because ICE should not be permitted to shirk accountability by shrouding its activities in secrecy.
Okay, and we will go next to a follow-up question from Jonathan Matisse with Associated Press. Please go ahead.
I was going to ask about the spelling of Martha's name, but while I'm on here, how many people were involved in this one? You might have already said it, and I just might have missed it.
Nearly 100 workers were arrested on the day of the raid.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll take our next follow-up from Louis Lebrecht with Bloomberg Law. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Stephanie, could you tell us your last name? I haven't participated in these calls before, so I just want to get that down. And also, can you tell us when you expect to be able to release a copy of the complaint?
Sure. This is Stephanie. The last name is Teatro, T-E-A-T-R-O. And the complaint will be released shortly after the call.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll take our next follow-up from Julia Preston with Marshall Project. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you could tell us the immigration status of the plaintiffs at the time of the raid and what relevance you think their immigration status has to this proceeding.
This is Melissa Keeney. We don't believe the immigration status of any of our plaintiffs has relevance to the claims that we have pled here, and that's not something that we're discussing.
In addition, the gist of our complaint is that during the raid, the ICE agents were essentially using the workers' Latinos' race as a proxy for immigration status, assuming that because they were Latino, they must be undocumented. And that really is the core of our claim. So, again, as Melissa said, we don't believe their actual immigration status was relevant.
Okay. Thank you.
And once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone keypad. And we will pause again momentarily to allow questions to queue. Okay, and we will take a follow-up from Catherine Choice with CNN.
Sorry to do that to you. And my name is Choiket, for the record, if anyone needs to know. I just was hoping somebody could speak to how you feel like this case fits into kind of the broader immigration legal landscape, I guess. Have there been other cases like this filed before? Do you expect this will have some kind of larger impact beyond the plaintiffs in this case?
I can start with an answer to that. This is Meredith from Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, this case is really about the unlawful activities of the ICE agents the day of the raid and ensuring that our clients receive some measure of justice for the violation of their rights on that day. That is the focus of this instant lawsuit.
And this is Melissa. Just to add to that, our understanding, though, is that this is the first lawsuit of this kind, the first challenge to a large-scale worksite enforcement action such as this.
And it looks at this time we have no further questions. I'd like to hand it back over to you, Stephanie, for closing remarks.
Thank you, Wendy, and thanks everyone on the line for joining us on the call, and to all of our speakers for sharing their experience and expertise. As a reminder, we will be sharing a recording of today's call as well as a copy of the complaint shortly, but thank you again.